I'm 5 figures deep in how much I've spent. I need to make this make sense. In secondary school, I actually used to sell sweets. The Holy Spirit said that we are needed Christians, I'm talking about, in every single place in this earth. What is the point of having so many gifts and so many talents and just using it for yourself? So a big brand approached us. It was a pinch me moment because I said, is this real? Is this a scam? Everything you do, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord.
Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of the Come See podcast. I'm so excited about my guest this time around because I'm so sure you guys are going to be so blessed by what she has to share. Now, just to say that this episode is about Black female Christian founders. And today's founder is somebody that I actually went to the same college as. And I had no idea of the entrepreneurial spirit that this girl carried. But we are all about to find out about her adventure with business. And it is my pleasure to welcome Desola. Welcome to the Come See podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Not at all. I'm so excited for everyone to hear about your amazing journey. And we're going to start first. Before we get into business, let's talk about your upbringing. Did you grow up in a Christian home? What do you recall about your upbringing?
So growing up, my parents are Christians. So yeah. We definitely did grow up in a Christian home. I remember my earliest memories of being in church during night vigil, you know.
Come on.
I remember always being in church growing up. I remember the prayers. It was always constant prayer, fasting. So actually, as a child, my parents would actually have us fast as well. Mm. So, yeah, we could break at 12, though.
Okay.
So growing up, I've always had Christian values instilled in me. Fortunately, my parents never forced the faith on us. But what I will say is we did read the Bible. We prayed as a family a lot. And I remember being a child, I'd gather like my younger brother and sister and we'd draw pictures and like biblical pictures and we'll do Bible studies together from the children's Bible books
that
my dad bought for us. And we watched a lot of Christian videos as well. So there was this blue Bible, the Psalm Bible. I'm sure a lot of people will know about it. So we watched a lot of Christian videos growing up. So definitely the faith was part of my life and Jesus has always been a person that I look at as the pinnacle of what I do in my life and who I am. Yeah.
Amazing. And when would you say you had an awareness of God? When would you say that came for you?
I've always known that God exists, God is real.
From your memory, your earliest memory, you remember having had an understanding that, yep, there's God.
Yes, definitely. I remember being probably about 6 years old. I shared a bed with my brother. We had a bunk bed. And I remember I was on the top bunk and I'd look outside because I wanted to know, how does night become day?
Yeah.
So during that summertime, you know, 4 or 5 a.m., I remember I'd wake up and I'd be like, how comes it was blue before and now the sun is out or like is bright. So I just wanted to understand God and I'll say to God, God, please can you keep me awake so that I can see when you make it day. But till today, I've never seen that transition. I guess it happens gradually. So you can't actually just open your eyes and it happens. But
But what's fascinating to me is that as a child, your parents did such a good job in creating a culture of faith and a reverence for God, an acknowledgement of God in your household, that God was just a fixture, like he was always there. And that's so powerful. That inspires me as a parent. I want my sons to always be able to recall that. No. God just is. He always has been. He's always been there, you know, so they don't have to have that crisis of faith of whether or not he exists. From when they were young, they always know that he's always been there. I'm really inspired by that. I'm also inspired by how you as a child had such a a perspective, a deep perspective of understanding that God created the universe. Mm. So he's the one that you were asking, why, how can I be able to capture when you turn day into night and so on and so forth? That's really fascinating to me. So you grew up with this faith, you grew up with this childlike faith of knowing that God exists. How did that faith progress into your, you know, early teens? How did your faith continue to develop?
Yeah, so I've always had Christ. I always say to everyone that Christ is the only constant that's been in my life. Like, even when I've deviated, even when I haven't been sure of my walk, I've always had the Christian foundation rooted in me. And it's not something, the Bible actually says, if you teach your children the ways of the Lord, they will not depart from it. That's true. And I definitely am a living witness of that scripture being manifested in my life. The Holy Spirit, you know, he speaks and you hear him and he guides you and he talks to you. And even when you choose to ignore and try and be disobedient, even when you say, oh no, I want to do it my way. You know, that gentle voice has already told you this and that, you know? So growing up, I've always had that. Even when I was trying to be bad gang, trying to be bad girl, you know, falling into the wrong paths, you know, God has always tried to steer me away. And I feel like he even does a lot to make sure, no, that's not where you belong. Get back here. So that's definitely a factor. And I remember growing up, I would have like a lot of moments in the night. And now that I'm a lot older, I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And I would actually just be communing with God. And I'll be like expressing like whatever's on my mind. Sometimes I couldn't, like if I couldn't sleep or something like that, I'll just be like, you know, expressing what's on my mind. And I remember I always had this deep feeling that there's something more that I need to do. Like I just, I remember I would say, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. Like, I knew there was a deep pressing within that God wants to use me to do this or that. But whatever it was, I wasn't sure. But I just knew that I had a deep pressing. I remember I grew up in a time of when everyone was going to FOL and, you know, there was a massive wave of Christianity in that time, especially. So I was probably around maybe 14, 15 years old. I remember that that's when like the Jesus Loves Me jumpers were really popular. Do you remember those? And Jesus is my logo, the badge. And then I had an oldest, I have an older sister. So she was also like having experiencing her wave of Christianity while she was in uni. And I really aspired to be like her. So a lot of her Christian principles was being passed down. I really enjoyed going to Christian events. I really took it seriously. I remember I said, I'm not going to say bad words anymore. I'm not going to I'm not going to listen to secular music. Because again, the truth behind hip hop came out. And that was enough for me to say, you see those songs there? Never again. And even till now, I never really got back into the whole hip-hop R&B. I used to love all that kind of music, but so I remember just growing up, I've been around the faith, and my one of my favorite artists used to be Governor B. You know, I used to listen to, I think he had an album called The Narrow Road that was on repeat constantly. And Ty Tribbett, like, so I made sure I changed my music. I went from leaving my radio on with Pretty Little, what's the name? Pretty Ricky.
Playing. Oh, come on. Wow. Now, Pretty Ricky, wow.
So now playing Ty Tribbett to sleep, you know? Because music, again, is another big thing for me during my childhood. And I could see, you know,
how it was affecting you, how it was influencing you.
So through childhood, growing up, the Holy Spirit has been coaching me and showing me where to go, what to do. Even when you do like something that's not, you know, bringing glory to God or whatever, he kind of finds a way to steer you back into where he wants you to be.
Amazing. Now, one thing that I know everyone is going to be able to be encouraged by is your story as a business woman. As a businesswoman, as a founder. Let's start with, what are your first recollections of getting into business? Like, as I'm talking from the early days, when would you say you had your first business idea?
So in secondary school, I actually used to sell sweets.
Come on.
I remember I would go to like the corner shop and you'd buy like a 4 for £1, like Chewits. I remember mainly Chewits, I remember.
Do they still exist?
I don't know, but I just remember that the orange pack with that green crocodile. Do you remember it? Yeah. Is it fruit salad? That was my favorite flavor anyway. So I remember that I used to sell that, you know, at lunchtime. My dad made the mistake of giving me all my dinner money in the beginning of the week. So I would be, anyway, I guess I was investing.
Yeah, you would make it back, isn't it?
So I would sell the sweets for about 30, 40p, make a bit of change on it.
Make a profit.
Back then, money meant, like, felt so much more than what it is now. But make a bit of a profit. And then, so I remember doing that. Then my next memory of business would be... I used to sell hair when I was in sixth form, so about 16, 17 now, and I was getting an influx of different orders. I had a business with a friend at the time. So we'd sell for prom girls. I did a few brides. I had this vendor back then.
Wow. Let me just come in, because what people don't know is, so like I said, Desola and I went to the same college. My perspective or my opinion of Desola at the time was that she was quite shy. I did not know she was making these business moves. We're here waiting for our EMA at the end of the week. My girl is getting paid to sell, to be a hair vendor, to provide hair for people. And it's just so, it's inspiring to me that actually that early on, you already had this business mind. Where they're like waiting for pocket money, you were already looking at ways to, you know, make income, you know?
Yeah, it kind of just fell into my lap, I guess. I didn't even take it as, oh, you're doing a business. Yeah. I just thought, oh, someone needs this, I can do that.
Yeah,
okay,
you just provided.
Had a bit of a surcharge, you know? And I was so obsessed with like beauty influencers. I remember the beauty influence at the time was Beauty by JJ. She had this video, Brazilian, Peruvian. She had so many different hairs in her head. And I was like, oh gosh. And I remember when I found a vendor and it was so good. Because anyway, that's a story for another day. But so that was my next memory of having a business or doing something businessy. Yeah. And I continued that through uni. Until today, I even still have some loyal clients that still get hair from me, but I'm not a hair seller at all.
She's not a hair vendor.
Yeah. It's just that one person, you know, that can get the hair. But so then I moved on after uni. I studied psychology.
Okay.
I was so sure I'm going to continue in psychology, be some sort of a counsellor or psychologist. I was so sure about that path.
What made you passionate about psychology?
I've always had a deep yearning to know, why do people do the things they do? How does the mind work? I don't just look at things on the surface. I want to know the root, you know? So if I see like, I don't know, a tree, for example, I want to know, oh, how do you know the age of the tree by the root? You know, I like to do a lot of research. That's just always been me. And psychology was very fitting because I have a deep love for knowing why do we do the things we do, how the human mind works, how, you know, all of that was very interesting to me. And again, I like talking to people and I like even counseling people as well. So I was so sure that, this is the path that I'm going to go down after uni. And you know how it gets after uni, you finish and you're kind of like finding your feet. And then you're like,
oh wait, no one wants to hire me. They want experience.
You know, I need to study again. Oh my God. Like, it was a lot. I even tried to take a gap year. I moved to Madrid for like a year.
What?
Yeah. During like the uni. We had,
hola?
¿Qué tal?
Oh no. No. Hola. I'm like year 9 level. You're like,
I said, how are you? Right. But yeah, so I lived in Spain for about a year and I was teaching English out there.
That's what I'm saying about you. Like, other people will take a gap year and be like, how am I going to live? Okay, I still need to live with my mom and dad. You're like, I'm taking a gap year and I'm going to fund it.
No, so basically it was during uni. So it was before going to final year.
Oh,
it's something called Erasmus. that, did you hear?
Like your placement year.
But it was an optional one that I chose. I didn't have to do it. And I had the option of either studying in a uni out there or working. Mm. And I chose that. Yeah, I chose that. I'd rather do that. So that was a nice moment to meet students. And even then, I could say that I kind of made a side hustle where I started...
guys. I'm shaking my head because... It just comes naturally to you. Yeah. Sorry, continue.
So my students would be like, oh, can you do this out of hours? And some of them would be like inviting me to their homes because they wanted to practice conversation and stuff like that. So a few of them, I actually took them on and they started becoming my, I guess, pupil outside of the actual school.
You were like a
tutor,
like a private tutor.
Yeah, so we're doing private tutoring. And yeah, so I guess I was making a bit of money on the side with that.
Yeah.
And then when I came back to London, finished uni now. So now I'm like, I need a job. Mm-hmm. I need a job. I remember I applied for a few, but I loved makeup. I loved beauty. So I was like, do you know what? Let me apply to work in like retail. Yeah. And just, I'd done retail when I was in sixth
college.
Form as well.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, let me just do it again. I applied to work in a beauty department store. And during my interview, me and the area manager got talking and she was just like, do you know what? I think you'll be great for the management role. And I was like, that's not even what I applied for, but it fell in my lap. And I was just like, okay, great. So from there, I was working in a department store and managing the beauty counter. And from there, I had a little team. And this is now my first experience of having like people that
managing
I'm managing,
a team,
you know, and it felt great, you know. And then I went on to working in another store, but this one was just the store alone. And it's another beauty store manager, again, a larger team. Mm. And this is where I started finding out about marketing. So I obviously had figures and I had sales that I had to make sure that we reach.
We're
at
hitting
the end,
those targets.
Exactly,
yeah.
The targets. So I was thinking, think fast, think quick. How can we get a number of sales in? And then I didn't realize that all those strategies I was putting in place is marketing I would use to get people inside. Mm. So in terms of increasing footfall, I would be saying, let's plan events, let's do makeup masterclasses, let's do all these kind of things. So
for somebody else's brand. You know how God says when you're faithful with another man's, he will give you your own.
Faithful with few.
Yeah.
But yes. So I guess that's how I started learning about marketing, the ins and outs of it. I used to have my friends come round and then we'll all just be talking about like the word of God and just sharing experiences. And I'll never forget that the first one I ever did was called Serving Others because I had a deep desire
to serve,
other people. Yeah. And what does it mean to be in service to God and to others, right? And that's what business is essentially about, serving others. Like you have,
there's
have
a demand.
A need, exactly. And you supply
you
it.
You supply.
So from as time went on, I'm still working in this
beauty
store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I've decided, no, I want to leave because I think there's more that I want to do.
Yeah.
This is not enough for me anymore. So then I started interning in a marketing place. Mm. And that's when I kind of learned the foundational skills of marketing. And I felt, I knew these things already. I just didn't know what the terms were.
Yeah.
I've been doing this already, but I didn't know that this is what it means.
Yeah.
You know?
And I want to stop you there because one of the key things that you mentioned is interning. And I think a lot of us, I say us as if I'm still a young person. I am a young person. But a lot of us don't want to do the interning.
Mm.
We don't want to do the volunteering. We don't want to do the, you know, the apprenticeships.
Yes.
We don't want that. We don't want to be an apprentice. We want to be the boss. You know, when you were doing the team manager? Yeah. A lot of people would be like, yeah, team manager at 23, yeah. But when you're like, okay, but then you went back to being an intern.
Mm.
That sounds like a, what would you say to somebody who's like, I want to make progress in a field, I'm new to the field. What would you say to encourage them about maybe considering interning, maybe considering volunteering?
Yeah, so I would definitely say network. Find good examples and role models that are in the field that you want to be in and approach them. I know sometimes it might be scary, but sometimes just send that DM. Just send that message on LinkedIn. You'll be very surprised about how willing people are to help you, you know? And I wouldn't say don't discard it because it seems like, oh, that's the ground.
Yeah.
Like, no, do what you need to do to learn. Be open to learning. We always need to learn. And whenever, someone's always going to be above you. There's always going to be a richer CEO. There's always going to be, so don't see yourself as, oh, I'm above. Like, be okay with being in a space and you're not the one that's in demand in that place.
Yeah.
And for me, yes, I do this and that in my life right now, but there's
there was a season of making tea.
There's no, even till now, like, it's not every space that I can walk in and come and be the, oh, I'm the manager of this, I own this and that. It's not, I can't do that in everywhere I go. So sometimes I do have to become that person that has to learn again, or have somebody leading me again. Like, it's not everywhere I can go with my authority of, we don't need that. Like, everyone needs to learn, right? So be okay with learning, be okay with reaching out to people, and be okay with, and find a role model, find someone who's doing what you're doing that you can emulate and that can almost guide you through, like a mentor almost. And that's what I would advise. Yeah.
Amazing. So you decide to go and intern at a marketing
agency.
Organization. Okay.
And I remember going in, I felt so inspired. I'd get off at Cannon Street, I'd walk and I'd see everyone in their office attire. And I was like, oh, this is a bit of me, like, left and right. I was like, I love this. I had a key card with my face on it. And I was like, okay, now I'm in the corporate world-ish. So now I was learning my way through marketing. And then from there, I moved on to another company. And funnily enough, that company, they hired me on as some sort of researcher, more so on the journalism kind of side.
Okay.
But when I started the job, I kept on making suggestions like, oh, I think we should do this, we should do that. I started showing them more about social media. Mm. And then that's how my role became something else, you know, and that kind
and that's not the first time that's happened.
I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you again, it happened again after this role again. So I was working there, and there I met like a Chinese company, and they were really good, like, in terms of what they're trying to offer and the kind of clients that they work with. So I had them as a contact, and later on they came back in my story, fast forward about 3 years later.
Okay.
And I'll talk about that in a second. So while I was at that company, I learned a few more things, but I think majorly I learned what not to do in terms of being a manager. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But I left that role.
She left.
I left. And in that time, I remember that there was a drought where I'm now like 24. And I'm like, I used to get jobs as soon as I apply. What's happening? I wasn't getting a role quickly.
What did that feel like spiritually for you? Because your story so far has been one of God opening doors. You know, you literally stand in front of the door, it just opens. Like, you know. But you called it a drought. What was it like going through that dry season?
Oh, I wasn't happy. I was annoyed. I was like, I felt like I didn't even want to pray. I was just like, what's going on? And I started feeling lazy. And I'm somebody that I always want to be doing things. I feel like I want to make sure I'm always
proactive,
doing something.
Productive.
And now I feel like, what's happening?
At home.
I'm just
the sun
home.
Came up.
Everyone
it went down.
Left for
I've
work.
Been in the house.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. And it just started feeling like really soul crushing almost. Then I took it up. I upped the ante, and then I remember I went to meet a private doctor that it was an interview again for another role. Mm. I was just ready to have anything. But as we got talking, I remember I was in front of two doctors, and then I was like, "Oh, have you considered this? Have you considered that?" And again, a new opening just came where the role that I was supposed to get, they're like, actually, I think we want you to have this. And then,
wow.
So that's how I started doing like business development and marketing for them. And then I went on to do that for a while. And then it's getting to lockdown. It's getting to 2020 now.
I'm just bewildered. How are you pivoting in the interview room?
I don't know. Do you know, that? I start off, I don't know, it's because in my brain, I always think of,
solutions.
What opportunity, what can they do better? I feel like they should do this. Like, I can always see, if you did this,
you're a solution focused person, you're problem solver.
Strategizing all the time, calculating, like, I think, you know, and when someone says something, it stirs something in my mind, like, actually, why don't you, you know, and I'm happy to share it, like, oh, I think you should do this, I think you should do that. And so I guess that's what landed me that role. And I was really happy there, you know. Mm-hmm. I was working in, I'd get off at Oxford Circus and I'll have to walk through to Harley Street. And,
Corporate.
And then I remember it started getting tedious. I started feeling annoyed of the journey. I hated the fact that as when I get to London Bridge, sometimes the trains are so packed and I don't like being around too many people. So it was, it just felt like I don't want to be a sardine all the time. Yeah. I remember I started complaining and I remember the Holy Spirit just reminded me of being 16 and being in Oxford Circus when I was working in Uniqlo at the time. Because we did our training in Oxford Circus. Okay. I remember the Holy Spirit reminding me that. I said, one day I want to work. I want to be in this area. I want to work in an office. Wow. When I was complaining, and I was like, oh God, I'm sorry about that.
Wow.
You know when you forget and that you're in a prayer that you prayed.
Yeah. Do you know what's so funny? It reminds me of there's a meme on Instagram, I think it is, where the person is like crying in the car and like the words on the screen say like, you go into the job you prayed for.
Yeah.
And you're like crying about that same job now.
No, it's true.
That's just human nature,
isn't
it?
We're so ungrateful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I remember that God was just reminding me that, listen, you asked for this. And I was like, that's actually true, you know. I remember that. I remember walking to work that day and I was like, oh, I don't want to have to leave because it was the flagship store and it was just for training. But I loved the atmosphere of Central London then. And then now, like...
God.
I'm not tired of all these people on the train. You know? But, so I remember when that contract was kind of coming to an end, I felt like, I want to do something else. So I started working for a drinks brand. And then that continued through to lockdown. And I remember the founder of that brand was adamant that he wanted us in the office all the time. And even in the previous role I had, I was able to work from home before it even became a universal thing like that. So I was like, I'm not digging this. I'm hearing about COVID and people are actually being impacted severely by this.
Yeah.
Why should we still be coming in? And there was like a notice that even within the building we were in, people had got COVID.
Wow.
So I was like, that's too risky. I'm not doing that. So I kind of like let that one go.
Yeah.
And now I'm back to that place and I'm scared because of what I told you a while back when I had the drought. So I'm like, I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, despite that very present fear of I'm going to go back to being jobless, you actually weighed, you know, the risks.
The health,
and you thought, you know what, my life.
The moment I took COVID, like, this is really serious. My sister said, there's no tissue, there's no bread, there's no... And I thought she was exaggerating. There was nothing on the shelves.
No.
She FaceTimed me and I was like, okay, this is, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
It's when people close to you, you're hearing about what's happening and you're like, do you know what? This isn't funny. I'm just going to stay in.
Yeah.
And from that moment, I was like, do you know what? Let's put pen to paper and start strategizing. I've had this idea. I want to bring out my business.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do businesses since. I can't tell you how many business ideas I've planned and meetings I've had with my like a family member to try and plan. Like, let's do a business together with eyelashes, lip glosses. Just never happened.
Mm.
But this time I was like, I'm going to take it seriously. I know I've got the time now. In the background as well, I forgot to mention, I'd been doing like makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'd been getting into like editorial shoots and stuff. And a few of the work ended up in like a few magazines. So I was like,
so you were a makeup artist?
Yes. So I would do like bridal makeup. I was doing makeup on the side and I had a lot of clients from when I was working in beauty from before that were constantly calling me. So now I was trying to think, okay, I make my own skincare. So should we go down this route first?
Yeah.
So I'll just tell you a bit about Decemi and how it started.
Yeah.
So my mum would go to Nigeria and come back with shea butter and it'll be in like, you know, those black carrier bags and it'll just look like rusty and dusty. Like it just...
You know.
No thought has gone into this.
Nope.
They just want to sell it. You know, it will even have stones in it sometimes.
That means it's real.
It's raw shea butter. But one thing I couldn't stand about shea butter, as great as it was, is the smell. I didn't like the smell.
Yeah.
So I remember I had bought my mum a diffuser for Christmas or something. So she had essential oils. And I remember that I was like, oh, let me mix them together. Mm. Let's see what will happen. So I was doing all this like science experiments. And I didn't know I was formulating skincare then. And I was like, oh, when I do this, it's getting too hot. It's making the shea butter grainy. Or maybe I should wait for it to cool down. So I'll do all these things. I'll be like, oh, let me add the essential oils when it's cooler. And then I'll mix it in. Then I was making my skincare, I was using it, my skin was getting, you know, clearer and clearer as the days went by, and people started having an interest, like people around me. So I'd make it for my brother, I'd make it for like friends as well. And I remember I'd go to IKEA and buy these massive mason jars and put it inside. So that's like the beginning of the Decime brand. But what I was more interested in was soap, because I found out the technique to make soap. Because I found that bar soaps are very drying on my face, but I kind of liked using them. So I started really researching how to make soap. I saw a lot of these soaps had like shea butters, oils in it. And I was like, do you know what? I don't want to do the lye process because that sounds a bit dangerous. Like it's one of the chemicals they use. But I was like, surely there's another way. So I kept on researching. I started making batches of soaps, thinking that this is what my brand will be. But even before we got here, actually, I should say during lockdown, while I was looking for what should I do now and researching and everything, I remember I was having a thought in my mind as I was doing this. I was like, at first, would you believe I thought I could start my business with maybe what, 600, 1,000 pounds? I thought, yeah, that would do it. That would definitely be fine. I'll be able. And I had dreams bigger than my purse at the moment. And then I remember I was just like, I think I need an extra injection of like $6,000. But I was saying this in my mind, like as I was just like planning what we're going to do. And I used to write a lot of blogs and redesigned a website. God knows how many times I made a website.
But one thing I love about your story, Desola, is that you are a dreamer, but you actually put it in action. You don't just have these ideas like a lot of people. I feel like we are all created in the image of God. I mean, I don't feel the word of God says that. So we all have a creative spirit. We all have a tendency to create things. But one of the things that is unique in conversation with you that I'm learning about you is that when the idea comes, you do something with it. You don't just say, oh, that's nice. Okay. And then you move on. Like a lot of people do. Oh, this would be a nice idea. And then a year later, you see somebody else doing that thing, that idea that came to you. And you're like, I feel like sometimes God inspires. The Bible says that it is God that gives us the power to make wealth. I feel like God inspires these ideas in us. And it's on us to actually respond and put things, actualize it, put things into action so that, you know, Psalm 1, whatsoever he does shall prosper. When we do those things, we will then experience that prosperity. But God ain't finna bless you doing nothing.
Do you know how many times the Bible talks about slothful people, lazy people, people like, you can't just sit there and expect things to come or be like the sower that planted their gift, or you have to make sure
that buried their talent.
You have to make sure that everything you set your mind to, you at least make one move.
Then the and next God is move, so faithful, he will meet you there.
Exactly.
You know, you do a little bit, God is like, okay.
That said, I do even still till to now struggle with procrastination. But that's one of the... I do, seriously.
How?
There's times where it's like, I should do it now. Just do it now. And then you're just like, no, but this, but that. And then you make... If you want to have an excuse, you can make one.
Yeah.
And it will stop you. You know what I mean? And
I don't believe her. She doesn't struggle with procrastination. Oh my God. You've got like 3-4 brands. No,
so basically, Decime, it hasn't got a name yet.
Okay.
I just know that I want to make this skincare brand, and I'm researching. And then as time has gone on, I'm thinking about it more and more. And I'm like, oh, if only I could have £6,000, because the money I have is...
Lord, if only I could have like 1 million.
Just saying. Just an extra. Do you know what I mean? Just just dash me that. And yeah. I think that that would help me. And I remember before I knew it, somebody contacted me like, oh, Destelar, can I give your contact to so-and-so? They're looking for marketing. And I think you're great. You'll be great at it. And I was just like, do you know what? Let's do it. Let's have the meeting. I've never worked in this industry before, but let's see how it goes. So I've met the founders. I've met, and then I've had another meeting with the team now. And then I'm just given ideas of like, oh, what have you guys tried this? What about if we do this? And then before you know it, they're like, oh, do you know what? We want to continue with you. Please send us an invoice. And I was like, as if, like, so I was like, let me put some so and so, and let's see what happens. I kid you not, yeah. When I saw that, the alert on my phone, I said, God.
What gave you the audacity to put that figure on that invoice? Because I feel like that's something that we struggle with. Like, even this week, last week, somebody was like, oh, they want me to do something.
Yeah.
And when I was saying how much I want to be paid, the fight I was having with myself, like, how dare you? Like, what do you mean? Yeah. Are you, what makes you think? What gave you the audacity to put 6K on that invoice?
The reason why I was able to put that amount comfortably is because I said, I need it to be paid upfront. Yeah. So whatever services I'm going to do for like the next 2 months, let's say, you need to make. Yeah. And they were happy to do it. What gave me the audacity? I don't know. I don't know. It's when the money hit that I said, oh my God, didn't I say if only I could have? Yeah. And I remember telling my sister, like, Deepa said this in my mind, like, I didn't even pray. It wasn't even a prayer. I was talking to myself. Like, yeah. I feel like I need at least, you know.
6K for this business.
Do you understand? And then before you know it, it's like it just lands in your lap and you're almost like, wow. And my sister was like to me, but Destelar, don't you remember you told me that like a week or two ago you had a dream and something big was coming, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, till now, I don't even remember that dream. She was like, yeah, yeah. And then I was like, I don't remember. But anyway, then before you know it, I'm starting to work with them. Then the Chinese brand, from what I said before, they said, oh, our team in China, we need you this. And I was like, okay. So I've now met with the China. And I'm talking this company, they're very big. Like, they work with, they supply a lot. They manufacture a lot of well-established businesses and banks in the UK, across the world.
Wow.
So I'm now meeting the Chinese team, and now I'm staying up at 3 a.m. so I can make it for their 9 a.m. meetings. And I'm like, do you know what? I'm going to sacrifice sleep right now. It's
for
fine.
For this season,
like, I'm about to make sure I do everything to make sure I'm going to make my dream work. This money has come in multifold, and now I can see exactly how I'm going to do my business. And that said, I remember running the idea past my parents.
Hey!
It didn't always get the response that you'd hope for.
Can we talk about that, please?
Bro.
Do you know what? There's I feel like family members, we love them. I love you guys.
Love you.
But they are the best accountants. Mm. They're the ones that will tell you the reasons why the industry is not right.
Yeah.
Your idea cannot work right now. Or because I feel like, you know how the scripture says a prophet isn't without honor except in his own house.
In his own town. Yeah.
I feel like they see you. You that I've seen, you want to become businesswoman. How? Mm. I know you. You that we still have to help you to make noodles.
Yeah.
Now you want to be going to be do this somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like our family, they love us, and in their effort to protect us, they actually sometimes they can hinder that that progression
unknowingly.
So what
just
was
discourage?
they can discourage you without trying to. What was your parents' response when you said, "Mom, Dad"?
I think my mum probably just thought it was another one of my great ideas that start and stop, maybe procrastinate as time goes on.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, my dad kept on giving me money.
When they hear money.
No, my dad was like, even though it was a small bit, he was giving me money every month. And I was like, And I was like, anyway, I won't say that. But every month he was giving me some, or when I'd ask, yeah. I'd be like, oh, dad, do you know?
I
need this. And he was actually like helping me out a lot. And I was like, oh, this is great. I can do this, you know? So as time has gone on, I think probably now I hear it in my mum's prayer points, the name of the brand I hear. I'm like, okay, so it exists.
Mum came on board.
It exists. It's not just a fantasy, you know? And I think probably from the response from like even outside as well, because even fast forward to like recently, this year we were actually approached by a very big magazine to be part of their beauty edit. And even I'm shocked, because it's not that I've done any marketing or PR for the brand at all. So a big brand approached us like, oh, we'd love you in our beauty edit this summer. But they were asking for 3,000 units for free, of course. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I was willing to do it. I was
because
planning.
Of the exposure.
Yes. Because they have like millions in readership.
Yeah.
They were going to offer me like TikToks. They were offering a really great amount of exposure. But I was so sure that I heard the Holy Spirit say it's not right for you. But I didn't even tell it. This is my first time of saying this out loud.
Wow. and why is it that you trusted that voice? I mean, I know it's a voice of God.
Oh,
but
I didn't even finish yet. I still was trying to go ahead.
Oh,
I was doing everything.
Oh, you
I was
did
like,
not listen.
Oh no. Hey. What do you mean it's not right for me? Yes, it is.
Get thee behind me, Satan.
Word. So I started planning, I started contacting suppliers. I was even trying to book a flight to maybe, how am I going to do this?
Because the exposure.
Yes, I was like, I need to get this done. How am I going to get all the units in time, or which way is going to be quickest, easiest, cheapest? I was looking for how I'm going to do it. But in the back of my mind, I knew that it's not going to happen, right? So as time went on, I was just like, okay, fine. I was like, I have to withdraw. I don't think it makes any sense to make that commitment. They wanted full size products as well. So it's not even like they wanted sample size. Mm. So I was just like, that's a lot. Be realistic. If you do this, think about it. It's not going to make sense in the long run for you. Because even if an influx of people come in,
how are you going to manage that?
Supply for them. Right. So I had to be really realistic.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, God, but do you know what? This has given me the push up that I needed again.
And the fact that you've been recognized by that kind of brand also reflects the value of what Desami offers. Do you
listen,
know what I mean?
I, you know, it was a pinch me moment, because I said, is this real? Is this a scam? I started looking on LinkedIn. Is this person? I was like, no, surely this is not real. Surely that. As I kept asking, how did you find us? Oh, just out of interest. And she's like, yeah, the team love it. Your product looks great and we'd love to try it. And at the same time as well, I even forgot to mention, when I, even though 2020, I was making all these plans, I didn't officially start talking about it until 2023.
Yeah, it was a 3-year.
Exactly. Do you know how many Christmases went by?
Incubating that, that idea.
Yeah, I kept saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then now we've changed completely from soaps, that our bestsellers started becoming roller oils. And I was like, wait, what? How did that happen? Serums. And this wasn't even my main gig, because I thought serums oversaturated. Everyone has a serum that they love already. But I believe in our serum, of course, but I was like, I'm sure the soap is going to be the hit, because it done great things for my skin, for people's skin around me. I was like, yeah, this is going to be it. And I knew like our beard oil was going to be really good, because I could see the guys that were using it the beginning till now. Like their beards are really, it's connecting. It's starting to connect, you know? But yeah, it's like God had his own way of showing me how I'm going to get to where I need to get to.
So merciful.
It's when another company started DMing me, oh, we want to share your news piece on our website. Can you please send us a graphic and all of this? And I would say one of the things that delayed me from officially being out was I felt like I needed a really huge cash injection. Now my parents have been on board, and now they even helped me out as well. Family members as well. Even I asked a few aunties, and they gave me some money towards it. So, you know, people have been helping and supporting, as well as I've now been able to put a lot of money in. But then I was like, okay, I'm five figures deep in how much I've spent. I need to make this make sense.
Yeah.
This is not a start and stop. When I looked at my spreadsheet, I was like, oh no. How did we get here? Because ideas started flowing. And me, I like excellence. I said, okay, we need branding. We need this. We need that. So as time went on, I didn't even realize how much money we'd spent. And then, so I'm here now, like, okay, this brand is approaching me. This person wants to write about me. That's so good. Like, God, this means you want us to do it. This means, like, I say us because it's like the brand is like a person.
No, I feel you. I do that too.
Yeah. This means it's right, you know. At the same time, I'm doing the line agency. So I've got the marketing services. Then the Graceful Kitchen is just been steadily growing and progressing in its own
that's
right.
another business that she does.
Yes. So I've spent all this money now, thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. And I'm like, okay, Desola, when are you launching? So I had this great
idea. So this is before launch?
This is before. This
before five figures before launch.
Yeah. So okay. I'm now before even when the magazine.
You're rich now.
In Jesus' name, by God's grace. But so now I'm like, okay, when am I gonna launch? What's the strategy? What's the marketing behind this? And now I'm speaking to a photographer. There's a particular photographer that I was like, I only want him to shoot my work.
Excellence.
And now the quote he's given me is not the same as the one he gave me in 2020. So I'm like, where do I go from here? Mm. Like, so I literally got an iPhone. I made sure I got an iPhone. I got my uncle borrowed me his camera for the longest time. He's got a nice camera.
You got to go back to them.
Yeah, I bought a light box.
There you go.
And then from there, I said, just shoot your products. There's a lot. My little sister, God bless her, she kept on saying throughout, but when is the right time? Just start with what you have.
Yeah.
If you know how I wanted to start with a 10-line product range. I wanted everything. Oh, this one's going to have this. I wanted different shots. We need a product shot. We need a lifestyle shot. I had everything. Do you know how many decks I've made and how many plans? But no, this one, just start now.
The Bible says, do not despise the days of small
humble beginnings.
Humble beginnings,
honestly. So, honestly, that scripture. So, with that scripture in mind, we can see that. I said I want a soap brand. Can see how it's moved. And then now I finally let it out. December the 1st, 2023, I put it out. I said I'd let people know.
Yeah.
What was the response? It was good. I was shocked. A lot of people.
And this was on social media, right?
Yes, yeah. just on my socials. And my social media is very, very private, very small. But a lot of people were publicizing it. And then that's now when I'm starting to get the journalist messaging me like, oh, can we share your story? Can we share the new launch? And I was like, oh my God, do you think? And back when I was like 21-ish, 22, I used to be the one asking people in my researching role. So I was just like, oh my God, like
full circle moment,
you know what I mean? I was like, thank you, Jesus. But ever since then, it's just whenever people see the brand, they love the way it looks aesthetically, because that was very important to me. I wanted it to be visually look good. Yeah. Then I also wanted it to work, and I wanted an experience to occur when you have the product.
Yeah.
So down from the packaging, down from the branding, everything, I wanted it to be a whole immersive experience.
Yeah.
Again, excellence is the word that we use here. So everything has been thought about from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And then, so we're kind of like here now. And in this time, in terms of like the website and stuff, God has just been raising up a lot of helpers. Like someone that is so well established within their own career, you know, they don't have time to work with the brand unless we're paying Ks per month. Has been taking on projects, working, sending me spreadsheets. And even on a day that I'm focusing more on another brand, I'm like, somebody's help, like, what God has been raising up different things, different people that have been helping, like, with the marketing, with the website. And I'm just like, I haven't even officially stepped into the shoes of, okay, this is what we do, and orders are coming in. Yeah. And I'm like, how are they finding us? Our SEO is not 100. Oh, this is not great. Oh my God. But honestly, it's all God. only God, and I owe it all to him, everything from beginning to end, and even the land agency, how clients have been coming in.
Yeah.
It's God. God has been great. God has been in the path. God has been in the, honestly.
What I find remarkable about your testimony, your story, Desola, is that you are faithful with the little, and so God blesses it. When people are like looking at it like, oh, it's too small, or we have to start from the beginning, it's too long a journey, you're like, yeah, let's do it. Because you don't have one business, you don't have two. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people, they have one business and they're like, oh, it's such a lot of work. You have what, three?
Yeah, basically.
Three businesses, and they're all in different spheres.
Mm.
We've got the Graceful Kitchen, catering. We've got Desami, skincare, cosmetics. Then we've got, what's it called? The LAN agency, which is marketing. Yes, they overlap because you're using your wisdom across all three, but those are three distinctly different industries. And you are researching about those industries and you're being a forerunner in those industries. And you're being faithful and you're showing up. Why will God not give you the grace, give you the ideas, give you the wisdom? Why will he not bless it?
One thing I'll add is that before starting any of these, I used the scripture Habakkuk 2:2, which says, write the vision and make it plain. That's my starting point. The Graceful Kitchen, that's majorly started with by my little sister Grace.
Mm.
And that business has flourished. And I came on board like probably like 3 years into it when it was like really picking up. And but it's gone from height to height, and I just thank God for that.
Yeah.
We've been able to serve Princess Anne. Royalty. So we've been able to, you know, a lot of things have happened in that brand, and I thank God Almighty for that. But honestly, writing down the vision and not forgetting to pray. Like, there are moments where things might be quiet or something like that, and you put into prayer, this is what I need, God, this is what I want. And honestly, God always shows up in all ways. And I'm just so grateful to him for every moment in my life. I can see that it's now pointed to a time like now. And I don't know where the journey will take me completely. I should even mention, in terms of like my faith, I have something called gifts and purpose, because purpose is so important to me. And you're using your gifts to, you
fulfill
know,
God's purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. So that one, I just kind of put the Bible scriptures that I'll be reading or whatever. I just made posts. I didn't care about it. I didn't use any kind of marketing brain. I just put posts on Instagram like, do you know what? This one day, I want this brand to be back to what I said about when I was working as an MUA, meeting different women, hearing about their concerns with their skin, hearing about women's journeys and insecurities and all of that.
Mm.
I wanted it to be like a space, a community where we all share our gifts, our talents, our purpose. Thank God I have a lot of friends that are well established in like businesses themselves or they're like lawyers and so on. So I wanted to gather my friends together, similar to when we were doing our little Bible study in my parents' house, and just have us talk to like young women, especially, to just inspire them and just give them that mentorship and that you know, that big sister kind of vibe. Because I did learn a lot from my older sister growing up as well, and I'm an older sister as well. I've got a brother and a sister, so some people need that kind of like inspiration sometimes. So gifts and purpose is very much about that. I don't know what God wants to do with that, but
you're showing up, you're being faithful.
I know as time goes on, we'll see where that leads us to. And then even back to Desami, charity is something that's very important to me. The Shea Butter my mum bought, because I didn't like the smell, I tried to buy a deodorized one in this country. And I was paying almost like maybe times 15 the price of what my mum bought. So I was like, no, something is not right. How can I be buying African Shea Butter in UK and I'm paying so much more for what, them, you know?
There's a disparity.
I know I'm not going to get the stones, I'm not going to get the smell, but come on,
still,
man.
Still, that gap is too
it's too drastic. So what I've said, I've found a way. I said, every time any product of ours that uses something sourced from Nigeria or Africa, now. Yes, yeah. Dispodesame, Ghana, Nigeria, our main places, anytime our products from there are bought, we're donating back into that country. Where, and eventually, in Jesus' name, we'll be able to help women, we'll be able to make foundations, we'll be able to support, you know, the less privileged. And for now, what we do is we plant trees.
Yeah.
Whenever you spend a certain amount, a tree will get planted.
Yeah.
Just so we can keep being sustainable and ethical, because all these things are important to me. And a lot of our ingredients are very, it's a luxury brand, of course, but they have a natural root as well.
Yeah.
Because I learned that, you know, nature is where it's at, you know.
Of course.
I started learning a lot about the healing benefits of certain things, certain plants, and I thought, let's combine it with the scientific knowledge that's out there, speak to a few dermatologists, and let's create a product that, you know, it works on the skin and it's good and it's mainly natural. It's good
natural. For the planet as well.
Exactly.
It's good for
sustainable.
For us. Yeah.
So that's kind of a bit of a background on in terms of what we want to do in terms of like our business. And funnily enough, some of our products have like really cute little Bible verses that you wouldn't even notice. So on the outer packaging, you might see something that says, I don't know, PS 23:3, which refers to Psalm 23:3. You know what I mean?
Getting it in there.
Yes, he refreshes my soul. So in a little way, because one thing I know in terms of business, I'm clear as day that the Holy Spirit said that we are needed Christians. I'm talking about in every single place in this earth.
Come on.
We're needed in as Christian doctors,
yep.
Christian lawyers, Christian business owners, everywhere. We need to be founders. We need to be workers as well. But we need to represent Christ in a dark and broken world and carry our light, you know, and be even like, we're not just going to be under. We need to stand out and stand up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and lead.
We can be CEOs.
Exactly. And there's nothing that's saying that your faith cannot take you to these places. Yes, we can see how the world is going. We can see what's happening. But honestly, Christ is by our side. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, right?
Yeah.
So the same God that sent you there is the one that will back you.
Well, he's the one that will promote you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that. So that I'm so sure of in everything I do. That, yeah, why can't we be like a L'Oreal, like an Estee Lauder?
Yeah.
Why can't we grow to that standard? Why not?
Yeah. And that's why what, that's, you know, before I asked you, like, why did you have the audacity to ask for 6K? Everything to me about your story, it points also to that spirit of excellence, that belief in high quality, a higher standard. I feel like one of the things that we as Christians do ourselves as a disservice is that we place ourselves so low. I'm not talking about humility now. Mm. I'm talking about how our expectations are too low.
Mm.
And it doesn't cost God anything to do these things, you know?
Yeah.
For example, just using the instance of where you needed 6K to start, you know, thinking about developing Desami. I know people who would get the opportunity you have and would put 1K on that invoice and ask God, please God, provide the extra 6K because that money's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
But you had what I would call audacious faith. To be like, no, I'm going to ask for it because that's what I need.
Mm.
And God will provide, you know? So I really hope that people are encouraged by your example of how you depend on God, but also how the spirit of boldness enables you to reach where others are like, nah, I can't even, I'm not even going to try and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you are constantly showing up,
mm-hmm.
and that's remarkable to me. That's really commendable. I wanted to ask what your words of encouragement would be to someone who is watching and they're like, ah, this one has three brands. Me, I'm like, my one idea, I still haven't even started it. What would your words of encouragement be? And think about, you know, how your faith has informed your own journey as a businesswoman, how prayer has informed your journey, how the word of God has informed your journey. What would be your encouragement to somebody who is like, I have an idea, Desola, I really do, but I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. So I believe we all carry the mind of Christ, right? So if you have that idea, ask the Holy Spirit to bless it. Mm. Get on your knees and pray. And I know it sounds like, oh, that everyone says this, but I'm not joking. Like, there's something about praying. Mm. I don't know what it is, but there's a hidden mystery in praying, especially on your knees as well. Like, for me, like, anyway.
Literally.
Yes. And yeah, like, there's something that prayer does that it moves things that, you know, God is the creator. We serve the owner of heaven and earth, the creator.
Yeah. Mm.
Why should, come on, why would we feel like God shouldn't do this for us? Or like, the government is on his shoulders.
Come on.
Like, hey. God is the one that chooses the elect. He's the one that chooses. Yeah. We know him. We have him.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he want to do things for us? We are his children.
Mm.
The Bible says we're a royal priesthood, right?
Come on.
A city set on a holy hill that cannot be hidden. Like, we carry a light. And we need it to shine brighter and brighter and brighter, all for the glory of Christ.
Yeah.
All for it. And this is not about doing things with a wrong motive or I want to be a boss babe.
Ambition.
No, like, it's not about that. I couldn't care less about all those things. I'm being so serious. Like, it is what it is. I just genuinely love what I do. And I love having people, if it's that they're using my brand or I've helped their business, or I genuinely love the way that makes them feel,
the
like
impact,
exactly. So have that in mind. It's not about how many sales will we make, how many this. Just think about it like, I have something I carry inside me. Let me share it out. What is the point of having so many gifts and so many talents and just using it for yourself?
Yeah. Or burying it, like you were saying
exactly.
earlier.
Exactly. Why? That's not what we're created for. Whatever is inside you, bring it out. I always say to people want to hear from you. There's somebody, even if it's not the whole room, there's somebody that you are going to help.
Come on.
And because imagine if the people that did establish their businesses, imagine if they had a mindset of, can't be bothered.
Yeah.
How would we be able to benefit from the things we benefit from today? Because let's be honest, businesses is what makes the world go around.
Yeah.
The NHS, that's a business.
Mm. That was somebody's idea.
Exactly.
That was somebody's idea. All the infrastructures that we depend on, they were someone's idea.
Yes, there's always a founder.
It's TFL was somebody's idea.
Exactly, there's a founder.
And now all of us are, you know, complaining that the bus is late. Somebody created that infrastructure.
Yeah. Mics.
Yeah.
Shoes.
Technology.
Everything. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us our ideas. And we are made to be stewards of the earth and create and do all these things. Mm. And yeah, one thing I love, and I always say to my sister as well, that about food, everyone needs to eat.
Come on.
Do you know what I mean?
That will never change.
Never. So while I can say, okay, even marketing, everybody, even Jesus, you could say he did his own little marketing, evangelism, you know?
Yeah.
So carry the name of God wherever you go. And I'm not saying you have to carry signposts. And like, if that's what you need to do, do it. Do you get what I mean? But just in you as your person, your light will shine in dark places.
Let your light so shine.
You know what I mean? And
before men.
Exactly. And I spent a long time running away, hiding from ideas. And then that Psalm 139, and I swear down, that's like one of my favorite Psalms. Like, where can I go from your spirit, God? Mm. Where can I do? God would dig you out, find you out. You can lay your bed in hell, he will be there. Like, you can't depart from him. Do you know what I mean? And while I'm here, you've made me for a reason, right? So let me just manifest everything that you want me to do to my capacity and just believe you'll help me. I cannot say that I believe that this is what's going to happen. Da, da, da. I didn't have a clue. I don't even, still now, I don't know what the journey is going to take me through.
Yeah.
But one thing I know, okay, I'm going to bring it back to you in prayer, God. God, what should I do next?
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes let me not even act like I pray every single second. No, sometimes I just strategize, have an idea. And you just see God is making things work. He says the steps of a righteous man are ordered
by the Lord.
Yes,
come
God
on.
Directs our steps and God shows us the way, even when we can't see the bigger picture. And there's always a bigger picture. Mm. And the bigger picture is Jesus Christ, right? The bigger picture is the gospel.
Yeah.
Everything is for God at the end of the day. And everything you do, do it as if you're doing it
unto the Lord.
Yeah. And while it's not that I even always follow that advice in some of the rooms I go in, but with my businesses, I care a lot, so I do that. But sometimes it is hard, but you just have to remember that there's a bigger picture. This earth is going to pass away.
Yeah.
We're not here forever, right? It's not forever. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I never want to get too comfortable with life.
Come on.
That I'm going to say, oh, yeah, but do you know what I mean?
This at all costs. It was something that God had to teach me and is still teaching me that, yes, you know, a huge social media following is amazing. Yes, thousands of views, millions of views is amazing. You know, sometimes when I see like, oh, you know, like these other platforms are getting so much, you know, traction, so much attention.
Mm.
And God constantly keeps reminding me, but it's not about that. It's about my purpose being fulfilled.
Yes.
Because like you say, this world is going to pass away. And what difference is it going to make in heaven if you had 1 million followers or if you had 300?
Or three businesses.
You know? Whether you had three businesses or one, what's going to matter is the report that will be given concerning how you lived your life.
Exactly.
The legacy, the impact, whether or not you were obedient to what God asked you to do, whether or not you fulfilled purpose.
Exactly. What did you do with what I gave you?
Come on.
That's it. Yeah. And the scariest scripture for me is, God, I swear I can well up right now. The one where it says that you'll be like, but Lord, I did this, I did that. And he said, depart from me. I never, you were? God forbid.
You didn't do
Jesus
what?
Name.
Amen. That's not our portion.
That would not be our portion in Jesus' name.
Rather than that, I would rather, you know, be obedient and look like I'm being slow.
Yes.
Or look like I'm not being, you know, a go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
If it means that God will say, well done on that day.
What I'll say is, it doesn't matter who's watching. Like, it's not, for me, honestly, it's not, I don't care. Like, it's not about that for me at all. It's like, this means a lot to me. This is not just a passion project. It's something that I feel like I'm committed to this. Like, let's see how it thrives. And I've seen, even when I'm doing small, because I know you feel like I'm doing, I don't. I feel like I'm just doing the baby steps still. Like, I can only imagine. I can only imagine what could happen if 100% time was really put into everything. Yeah.
That time will come.
Amen. But
times and seasons.
And one thing I would say is get help and ask for help. Because that's something I kind of, now I think I'm getting better.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have people.
Yeah.
Your vision is, yes,
no man
God
is
gave
an
it
island.
To you. Exactly. But other people is how you get to where you need to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's things that you haven't thought of yet, even though ideas are dropping in you. There's things that you got that idea, absolutely, and that it's going to work, but it's not now. It's not for now. You need to hold that for a bit. So that can be your goal, your overall goal. And then now you find a way to, how do we reach this? And people will be there together to rally around you and help you. There's a Bible scripture that, I think it was David that I read like last week. And it said that many, many people came onto him. He needed help. Mm. And it was like an army, until it was like the army of God. That's what it says in the Bible. So you need people, you know what I mean? And it's people that will propel you forward in where you're going. The right people, of course. So we ask God for wisdom and discernment to have the right resources and people around us.
Amen.
But definitely, even with this podcast, I know it's going to do great
things.
Honestly, I know it. So don't look at it as, it's not about numbers.
No.
You know, even if your story helped to save one soul,
it's done the job.
You get what I mean?
Yeah. So, absolutely. Thank
you. We just keep it going that way.
Come on. Thank you so much, Desola. Thank you. I know your story has encouraged people, has inspired me, has encouraged me. Lord, I'm thinking like 1 million. I'm just thinking 1 million pounds. So if, you know, when that invoice comes, give me the courage to write the figure down.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that is on your heart to share before we say goodbye to the people then?
Jesus lives and Jesus is great. And I just thank God. And it's important to have a deep relationship with the Father. I'm not talking about religiosity or anything. I mean, the way I talk to Dami right now, just have a conversation. Like, am I doing the right thing? Or I don't. The other day, I had road rage. Seriously, mad road rage. And I hated the way it made me feel because I felt so much like anger. And I was like, God, I don't like the way I feel. I'm kind of even sorry about that. Mm. I shouldn't have cut in front of them. I get why they beat me. Like, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I talk to God. Like, just on a level, like a friend.
Yeah.
So build that relationship with Christ. He loves you. He wants to hear from you always. There's no problem too great or too small, you know, and just put everything to him and he will show you the way. Even Amen. If he doesn't show you the way, because, yeah, sometimes you want to see everything, but he will lead you through, you know. Amen. The Israelites got out of Egypt, didn't they?
Yeah, come on.
So
that's it. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Desola. And I hope that you have been encouraged by Desola's story. She didn't come empty-handed. You got a little something. I need to do more founders episodes. Maybe I'll have the owner of Rolex so that I can, you know, they can Amen. Gift me.
Why
something.
Not? So, Dami, you've got your gifts here. Yes. From Destiny. I hope you love the product.
Beautiful. Now, I'm not going to show you guys what's inside, but even the tissue paper is branded. Okay? Now, when you open it, okay, yeah. But I'm not sharing, so you'll just have to buy your own.
Enjoy.
I'll keep everything in the description box, okay?
Hope you love it.
For you to get your copy. Desola, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Come See podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment. What part of Desola's story resonated with you? I'd love to hear how you are going to start to take your ideas more seriously. And until next time, God bless.